So here we go. Parshas Noach, brand new stuff over here. So the Rashi says like this. This is a famous Rashi, and everybody talks about this Rashi. I even gave an answer for this last year. The answer that I gave last year was a really good one within the way that Noach went. Here we go. This is the history of Noach. Noach was a tzaddik, perfect in his generation. He walked with God. So the famous Rashi says, some say, some darshan it for praise. Had he been in a greater generation, and he'd been in a generation full of tzaddikim, he would have been a greater tzaddik. That's the famous one-liner. Ready? The next one. Some say it in a bad way. That was, only according to his generation was he a tzaddik. Right? The Eloi of Adorosh Avram, had he been in the generation of Avram Avinu, Lohaya Nechshav Leklum. Listen to the question over here. Nechshav Leklum. He would be considered like
nothing.
Absolutely nothing. So now, let's think about this for a second. Let's think about that. He would have been considered like nothing. First of all, how could you darshan it Leganai? The Pasuk calls him a tzaddik tamid. How could you possibly say that it's bad? How could you say that? Where would Chazal have come up with such a thing? Like, so why in the world would anybody have said that it's bad when Chazal are calling it, when the Pasuk is calling him an unbelievable? No, but Tamim Haya Bedorosa. So if you're calling him a Tzaddik and a Tamim, Rashi says, but he was really bad. The Pasuk's calling him the greatest person of all time. What are you saying? So Rav Schwab says an unbelievable answer. He says, Mishoresh Tov Lo Yula Davar Ra. It's really a Ramban in Parshas Hazinu. From something good cannot come something bad. If a person is a tzaddik gomer, and never had any thoughts of bad inside him, it is impossible for that man to have a child with a Rasha. Impossible. It must be that the tzaddik had netios, something that went wrong, something ra inside him, because it's impossible for a shorish to ever have anything bad. So what Chazal did was they looked at Noach's children, and they said, look at his children. Sure, he had shame. He had tzaddikim gemurim, unbelievable tzaddikim, that's great. But he had chum. And he had other people that were out there. Yes, Chazal say they were akol and mikol. They weren't kol, like Yaakov Avinu. 100%. You hit the nail on the head. That's a whole pshat, that they each had something that had to be got rid of. But Yaakov was shalom b'mitaso. So they said, there must be something wrong with Noach. They said, what's something wrong with Noach? It's a tzaddik tamim. And they figured it out. It's from that word bidorosav. It must be from the fact that the Pasuk adds on that word in his generation. In his generation he was good. And they said to himself, that's the remez. There must be something about Noach that we don't get. So yesh dorshim oso l'gnai. But still.
That's not
okay.
A good answer.
You want to say it bad? No, that's where they got it from. That's where the remez is from. But that doesn't answer. Okay, so now you say there's something good. So what does that have to do with Avraham Avinu?
Right.
What does that have to do with William Actual Eclipse? So now you got to ask yourself, where Schwab goes on and says, well, wait a second. Fine, maybe he wasn't the greatest tzaddik of all time. But since when do we rate tzaddikim? There's no time. I never saw it. Like, there's a Forbes 500 list for riches. There's no Forbes 500 list for tzaddikim. So who cares? As long as you're a tzaddik, who cares if you're a tzaddik par excellence, you know, on the level of Avraham Avinu, if you're a tzaddik all the way down there. And look at Rashi's wording. The Gemara in Sanhedrin doesn't say this word. The Gemara says either Dorshu Sol Shvach, that he was a tzaddik gomer, or Dorshu Sol Gnai, that he wasn't a tzaddik like Avram. Wasn't a tzaddik like Avraham Avinu. Over here, it's not saying it like that at all. He would have said, it's saying Loi Anechshav Leklum. If he was in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he would have been nothing. He would have been absolutely nothing. How in the world can you say that? That's the kasha that Rav Schwab has. Here we go. Let's ask a different question to answer the question. Isn't it a Pella? Noach lived 600 years and didn't affect a single person. Not one person. He spent 120 years on this teva, working on the teva, and didn't affect one person. Nobody was affected by Noach's Musser. Not one guy. The animal. I don't know if the animals are directly affected. Indirectly affected. I mean, is that unbelievable? His whole avoda and his whole life, he lived 600 years and got nothing out of it. He didn't have one talmid. Didn't have one student to come out with it. How in the world could that be? The pshat is, his tzidkus, his greatness, was lefi doro, just like his generation. Just like his generation were extremely selfish. They were selfish individuals. They were people who had taivas, and they wanted to use them for themselves. Noach had the same type of selfishness. but in good. He did have good, but he wanted HaKadosh Baruch Hu for himself. He was Lefidoro. He was compared to the rest of his generation, like that says Rav Schwab. And just like they were selfish, he was selfish. But they were selfish for bad things. He was selfish for good things. And he didn't want anybody else like that. He wanted to be Ki'ilu, one of the eight people on the Teva, and that's that. And that's it. Yeah, just Shem called the office and the only people. He wanted it to be that way. And therefore, he was Oved Hashem La'atom. He didn't feel a need to be Mashpia L'Acherim. So even though he wanted to, and he knew he was commanded for the next 120 years to answer the Shilas, he didn't answer the Shilas. When they came up to him, what are you building the Teva for? There's going to be a flood. There's not going to be a flood. They started laughing at him. He said, all right, I don't care. You're going to laugh at me? Fucking laugh at me. He didn't go back to them and say, come on, guys, please. Please. He didn't do that. He didn't do that in whatever way. We're going to have to talk about what Noach did. In Avram's door. How do you know that? You're right. The Be'er Basada brings down a Zohar that says that he went around being mochiach people. But he didn't do it in the right way. And imagine, 600 years, he got no talmidim. Not one. Instead of Pella. Not one. In Avram's door, such a voda is not an avoda. Such a voda wouldn't be anything. That service
a different door.
Exactly, that's a shot. Lefidoro, according to his generation,
he was blaming, a tzaddik, and that's Dorsha was a shot. Well, I'm blaming Noach.
No, it's not. It is Noach because he was selfish.
There was nothing wrong.
He was selfish. He was just like his generation, but in a good way. Had he been in the door of Avram Avinu, such a voda, although it still would have been good things, he did work for himself, it wouldn't be considered like anything. Because Avram's door was a door of chesed. A door of chesed.
As you were saying, it wasn't bad at the time.
I'm saying the people in Avram's generation were not as bad as the people in Noach's generation.
How do you know that? You are making a massive assumption there. It's both 10 generations from the first thing. Where do you know that those 10 generations were not as bad? Because they weren't destroyed? Because Avram Avinu was there. Maybe they were supposed to be destroyed and Avram Avinu saved them. We don't know that. We just don't have a parshas Noach by Avram Avinu of where they wanted to destroy the entire world. They did destroy Sodom. And Avram Avinu davened like crazy for Sodom. We have that concept.
And
there, these people were extremely
able to convince anybody in Sodom.
And he wasn't able to convince anyone. Oh, who says he went to Sodom? He wasn't told to go to Sodom. He specifically told Lot to go to Sodom. He wouldn't go to Sodom. Now, you're right about that. But such an avoda for Noach was not in the door of Avram Avinu compared to the door of Avram Avinu. That door was all about making and helping others find a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That what he did was considered like nothing. Now, that's Rav Schwab. Yaakov's going to be upset. He's a big Rav Schwab man. Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev says the following. He says there's two types of tzaddikim in this really connects. One serves God with Hislavas. Hislavas, love and fire for himself, and there's another who serves God for helping others. Now, those are obvious, right? Noach is one, and Avram Avinu is the other. Okay. The Zohar says he was too noch. He was too nice to be able to really muster anybody out. Can you imagine somebody mustering somebody out and just saying, like, hey guys, don't you want to do tshuva? Do you want to get better? He was too nice. He was naichalamawa, naichalamata. He was too nice to everybody around, and that wasn't enough. It was too soft for everybody to do. Now look at this. Let's look at Hey Lamed Beis. Hey Lamed Beis says that he knew Noach ben Chamish Me'el Shani was 500 years old. Vayomer Noach Hashem Beschom Besyafes. Give birth to three children. The beginning of this week's parsha. Vayomer Noach Shlosha Banim Beschem Beschom Besyafes. Why does the pasuk have to repeat it? Why does it have to repeat it again? We know who his kids are, and it's, I know it's a different parsha. New. We don't go through everything that we said in Bereishis about what Hakadosh Baruch Hu said. Vayikehalcha Adam LaRov Al Pnei Adama Etc. Banos Yiladul. And we didn't have to go through that. Why do we have to mention this? The pshat is because these were the only toldos that he came out with. Notice, there is never a pasuk that says Ela toldos Avram. It does not say that anywhere. Ela toldos Avram. Why? Because Avram, we can't count his toldos. The amount of talmidim that he had. And we know that if you have a talmid, it's kiu yalado. It's as if you gave birth to that guy. Every talmid that you have is considered like a child. The toldos of Avram Avinu are innumerable. Innumerable. We couldn't count them. There is no Ela toldos Avram Avinu. You'd have to say Ela toldos Avram Avinu the whole world. Kol olam kulo. That's what you'd have to do. So by Avram, you know, it's not shaykh to say such a thing. By Noach it is. Ela toldos Noach. Shem, Chom, and Yafes. The Kedushas Levi goes even further. He says, Ela toldos Noach. Noach himself. He was the only person that was affected by himself, and that's it. And that was it. There was no one else that he ever ended up helping. And that's what the Kedushas Levi says as to why we have to repeat it. We're trying to repeat it for you because the first thing is to try to tell you the Pesukim themselves. Second thing is saying, he had no other Talmidim. There was no one else around. No one else who was affected by Noach. Now, I know we're bashing Noach right now. We're going to come back to him. But he's got to have a punishment. That punishment is to come back as a Gilgal. That Gilgal has to be into someone that is mochiach everyone in the best way possible. The greatest mochiach to have ever existed. The greatest Musar Shmuzer of all time. It's got to be someone like that. Somebody who's so powerful that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the world, this guy will be able to save the entire world. Who was that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who had straight up, what happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the entire Jewish nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu davened and said, Mecheini no mi sifrach asher kasavta. Erase me from the sefer that you wanted to write me in. Get rid of me. I don't need you over here. Now here's the difference. All other Nevi'im, all other prophets, the way they prophesize is something called Ko Amar Hashem. This is what God says. They need an oath from God. They need a sign from God. And then they go ahead and do whatever they were told by God. That's every other Navi in the world that does it that way. They go with Ko Amar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is different. Moshe Rabbeinu davened and said something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure it happened. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was nothing like Ko Amar Hashem, where Hashem tells him what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was so high, he was able to say something, and God made sure that that was what was going to happen afterward. He was Misnabe Bezeh. He was able to say the word Zeh and point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh Keli Vanbehu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. That's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Noah, and Moshe Rabbeinu and all of the Nevi'im. Ko or Zeh? That's the difference between them. Now here we go, are you ready? It says like this. Therefore, Noah was told when he was making the Teva, the Zeh Asher Tasoso. This is how you should make it. This is what you got to do. You want to make a teva? You want to have your word. And a teva means a word. You want your words to be effective? You want your words to work on other people? You want it to be that way? You got to be mochiach them in the right way. He said you got to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. When you become like Moshe Rabbeinu, this is how the Kedushas Levi says it, then you're going to be able to be there. Then you'll be able to finish your job, but not until then. And that's why later on in the parsha it says, you go into the teva. Ki oscha reisi tzaddik lefanai bador zeh. You I see as a tzaddik in this generation. You ready? A tzaddik is someone who affects other people. Tzaddik katamor yifroch. A tzaddik spreads out and flowers like a date tree, and there's dates that come from it. Ka'erez bavonun yiskeh is a cedar wood that doesn't give off any fruit. You want to be like a tamar? You want to grow? You can be a tzaddik. A tzaddik is the definition of that. Ki oscha you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, reisi tzaddik. I see you as a tzaddik. When? When you will be the tzaddik? When will you end up being the tzaddik that affects everyone and is muslim everybody and everything works? Bador hazeh. In this generation, when the door is using the word zeh and not the words ko amar Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes along, that's when you're going to come back. And thus, mecheini na misifrecha. Erase me, please, from your sefer. Ended up changing around the letters of mecheini na. The letters are Ani mi Noach. Ani mi Noach. I am straight out from Noach. That's who I am. Mechenina is also supposed to be Mei Noach. The idea of Mei Noach. But Ani mi Noach. That's what Mechenina is supposed to be. That's who I am. That's who I stand for. That's what I'm all about. I'm Noach. I messed up the first time. Now I want to give Moshe the right way. That's Bidur Hazeh. That's what ended up happening. Now let's look at something else. The Teva had one strange thing that never really is explained by the Pesukim. The window. The window. What in the world is up with this window? It's called a Tzohar by the Pasuk. It's Machlokes in the Gemara and Sanhedrin whether it's really a window or if it's a stone that shone down onto everywhere on the Teva. And this is a stone that was not a normal stone because they had three floors. If the stone is on the third floor, it's not going to shine down to the animals on the second floor. You don't need it on the garbage. This stone was so shiny. And not only, it didn't reflect any light. There was no light. The sun was beyond the world during the times of the Mabul. There was no sun. There was no sun for 12 months during this time, Chazal say. So what happened? The stone had such a shine, it went through the ceiling and the floor. It went through everything. The light was able to affect even the second floor, not just the first floor. It didn't get down to the zevel on the bottom. That it didn't affect. But it affected all the way to the second floor. That's how great this stone was. What an unbelievable thing. And all that is just thrown in here. Make a tzohar for the table. What is this tzohar? So here we go. Gidolei ador and tzaddikim and mikubalim. Know that there's a concept called tzirufa osios. You need a Rebbe to really explain it to you, and I haven't had a Rebbe in this, but tzirufa osios is when something bad happens, you change around the letters and you make it into good. So an ace tzara, a time of pain, can become an ace ritzeh, a time of pleasingness, of pleasantry, a time of nega, of plagues, of bad things happening. If you switch around the letters, you can make it into oneg, into a pleasure. There's a way of being mitzarif those osios, not just by writing them down, but by concentrating on them, having your machshava on them, and seeing the letters as if they are written in a different way, says the Tzvar Shalom, the Radamsker. Says if you do that, you can turn anything bad into good. It's really, what's the word? I was thinking of this before and I couldn't think of the word for it. What are those things where you jumble letters? What's that called?
Anagram.
Anagram. Very, very good. Thank you very much. It's like an anagram. It's like an anagram. These Talmidei Chachamim, these Gedolei Ador, are the kings of anagrams. And they take whatever it is, and that's what it means when you bring a Hasidish or Rebbe a Kvittel. When you bring him a Kvittel and you go up to him and you say to him, here it is, and you go up to him and you say, here's my Kvittel. He looks at the Kvittel, and whatever sorrows you wrote on there, what he does is he concentrates on those words and makes it good. He makes it into something Tova. He's Mitzaref the Osios to become something better than what it is. And by doing such a thing, you can automatically make anything in the world good. If you read the Tocha, if you look by the Gedolei Ador, and a person is reading the Tocha and the Parshios, the Gedolei Ador will look at that Tocha and change around the letters and make it into good. Hashem is cursing them? No! It's the best bracha that we can ever have. Through Tzirif HaOsios, it can change itself around completely. That's what it means by Tzara. Tzara can become an Eis Ritzei. But let's say you're not good enough to be able to be Mitzaref those Osios. Like Noach, we're not able to make the Tzara into Ritzei, into a pleasing time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it end up becoming? A Tzohar. It becomes a Tzohar. A light that shines only for him and not for anybody else. It wasn't Ritzei, Hashem Elokeinu Ba'avodasecha, or anything like that. It wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the avoda of all the people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed everyone. The only thing that Noah was able to be poel, the only thing he was able to do is to change the word Tzara into Tzohar. A light for himself and not for anybody else around him.
Didn't get light then, maybe.
For anybody that was with him, obviously. Anybody that was affected by him. And that's the idea of the Tzohar itself. That's an unbelievable vort. And what Mitzaref Osios really is, that's the Radomsker over here. Okay, here we go. Here we go. The Radomsker says another thing. Tzar Shlomo says another thing. And this is a very strange medrash. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. On the Teva, there was a bird called the Chol. It's translated as a phoenix. The phoenix bird. Now this bird, Eliyahu and Avi went up to Shem ben Noach, and he asked Shem ben Noach, well, who it was, whether Eliyahu and Avi, obviously Eliyahu and Avi wasn't around, it's brought down by Tanner to be Eliyahu as well. He went up to him and he said, what was it like for you on the Teva? What was it like? And Shem ben Noach said, you've never seen such pain before in your life. It was the worst pain that I've ever been in. They said, we never stopped running around and feeding all the animals. We had to go from one place to the other. After this animal ate, that animal had to eat, and then this animal had to eat, and then that animal ate. And it was a vicious cycle. We had to go around and around. We had to keep getting food. We had to keep bringing the garbage downstairs. And we kept having to get more food and water and this and that and everything. We had to make sure that all the animals ate. And there were times, and then he goes through the whole thing that the lion bit Noah. At the end of that story, Noah saw a bird in the corner of the Teva called the Chol. And he went up to it and said, when did you last eat? And the Chol said, I haven't eaten yet. He said, why didn't you ask for food? He said, I said to myself, I'd wait until you had time, and then I would come up to you and ask you for food. So I said to myself, I'd wait until, you know, there was time I saw you were busy, so it's not that big of a deal. So Noach blessed the bird and said, you should live forever. And they say that this is the Orshina, and the Gemara says it's called the Orshina. It's the phoenix bird that lives forever and is always around, and is always around everywhere from the bracha of Noach. Says the Radomsker, what's the shot behind this medrash? Now, Vade, we're not dealing with whether or not it's true or not. The shot is there, and there is a phoenix bird that's out there that lives forever. I'm not worried about, you know, oh, but I've never seen it. No. It's around. That bird exists forever. It's not going to, whatever. But what do we want out of that medrash? What are we getting out of that medrash? So here we go. Again, there's two different types of tzaddikim. The Rebbe says there's two different types of tzaddikim. One type of a tzaddik calls out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avosam. We called out to God in Mitzrayim. We davened and we said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we need your help. They daven and they pray to God, you have to help us. I can't deal with this without you. And they beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers the tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. So he answers him. But there's another tzaddik. The other tzaddik has such bitachon and such emunah in Hashem, he doesn't even daven. Doesn't daven for it. He knows he needs to be saved from this sorrow, whatever it is, but he doesn't daven for it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to save me, he'll save me. Otherwise, I'll live through it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously sees that I can live through it. Now, don't ask me, because I don't have an answer to this question. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something in order for you to daven. And don't ask me. I don't know. I'm quoting from the Radomsker. The Radomsker is saying those are the two tzaddikim. One tzaddik that goes and davens every time in his answer. Another tzaddik who doesn't even daven, yet is answered out of his bitachon, out of his pure emunah, out of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You ready for this? That's shot behind. Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh. V'eshavosom yishma v'yoshiem. The rutzon of his yireim, those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever their will is, God will do. They don't even have to ask for it. It'll be done, period. V'eshavosom, and when they cry out, yishma v'yoshiem, he'll hear it and he'll answer them. That's the other tzaddik. There's another tzaddik that calls out, that's eshavosom yishma v'yoshiem. But the rutzon Hashem yireim v'yaseh, that's a guy who doesn't, he's such bitachon. The whole represented Noach. What's that bitachon? Think about this. Noach didn't daven once to get off the table. He's in the most pain you can ever imagine. He's bitten by a lion and he's limping around the whole table. Limping around the whole table, getting food for everything. He doesn't rest once over those 12 months. Shem ben Noach said, you can't imagine such pain. You can't imagine such yisur. Can't imagine what we went through in the table. Noach didn't daven once. Forget about everything that we said about Noach up until now. He wasn't able to be mochiach or whatever. We're talking about a tzaddik that is such bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said to himself, you know what? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me off the table, I'll get off the table. If he doesn't, he won't. It's not that big of a deal. Says Rav Schwab, Lamaisa, it was a huge miracle that the water went down so quickly. Can you imagine? The water was so high, it was 15 amos above the highest mountain. That's how high the water was. And it evaporated in 200 days? 200 days it was able to go down? It's talking about 4 or 5 months. It went down in 200 days. That much water went down. Where'd it go? Four tefachim of water, Chazal say four tefachim of water disappeared per day. Evaporation of four tefachim of water per day? What kind of a day was that? And Chazal say that the sun wasn't there. For 12 months, the sun wasn't poel. What evaporated it? There was no sun. Where in the world did the water go? He says it was a massive miracle. Then the question is, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu spent so much time doing it? That's another question altogether. But Lamaise said it was a huge nace. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that nace? Because Ritzon Yireyov Yaseh. Noach never asked for a thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what he wanted was to get off the table. So he did it. And he let it go little by little by little by little until finally it was all gone. That's Ritzon Yireyov Yaseh. That's the godless of Noach. See how we've been talking about how Noach is this and that. He didn't fix the Tzohar. He wasn't able to get any better. He was a gadol beyond gedolim. A gadol beyond gedolim. How do you have such a munah and be talking on HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you have such tzoros? He was still able to get there. That's an unbelievable thing. And that's the pshat behind the Yizkor Elohim as Noach. God remembered Noach because Noach didn't do a thing. That God answered Noach. He remembered Noach, and that's why we mention Noach by Zichronos on Rosh Hashanah. Not by Malchus HaShofros, by Zichronos. He is the key behind Zikaron. A person that doesn't even daven and is still over there. That's the shot behind Noach. What are you going to ask?
From the story, it seems like he should have asked. Because the fact that it took so long for the water to get out.
To recede.
Here's the bottom line. The point of the Mabul was to destroy the people.
Right.
Right? So once that event happened, then it was over.
You're making me go into something that I wasn't going to say, but very quickly. We spoke on a Meshech Chachma last year. Meshech Chachma last year said the Mabul had to be 12 months. Because you need a full year. You know what the halacha is? If you don't see a friend for a whole year, you're supposed to make a bracha. Bracha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Mechayeh Mason. You're supposed to make that bracha of Mechayeh Mason. Because he's a brand new person. This guy is not the same person as he was a year ago. A year is a big difference between them. Well, even if unless you talk to him, or unless you, whatever, you had some connection with him. But if you haven't seen a guy, period, like for example, for me, somebody that you even speak about, is somebody that you, I haven't even thought about in a long, long time. If I haven't seen him for a year and I finally see him, Baruch Mechayeh Mason. I don't know if I'd say it was Shem Malchus, but you got to make Mechayeh Mason. What's Pshat? Because the person has already changed. You got to understand something. Having these animals and Noach on the table, Noach knew it was going to take a long time to reboot their systems, to make them be able to not have these taivas when they get out. All the animals and Noach and everybody there still had the taivas. They needed to become new people. So what did God do? He put them in a teva and had them be mistapik b'muat. Give them a little bit of food, a little bit of water, and said, deal with this. Don't give in to your taivas. For 12 months, don't be together with your wives. Don't be together with your wives. You got to be mistapik with nothingness, with muat, with the tiniest little bit. That's the idea of going on the teva so that you change, so that you become a new person, you become a brand new person. You can't even recognize the person from before. Noach knew he had to be on there for a long, long time. How long he had to be on there, he had no idea. The Lamaisa was only 12 months. But the Meshach Chochma says it had to be at least 12 months because they had to become new people so that it was Mechaya Mason. So that's how I would answer your question. It's a good question. It's really the Kasha of new. So why didn't God do it immediately? If Noach would have davened, it would have been even quicker. No, it wouldn't have been even quicker. It might have been even longer if Noach would have davened for it. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu would have said, since you're davening for it, maybe you're not even roy for it yet. We don't know. But with him, Ritzon Yerav Yaseh, he immediately did it after 12 months. We don't know what would have been otherwise. Yeah,
sweet. You know that Rashi says that Noach was weaker than Muna, especially when the
Mamin the Eino Mamin, a very, very good call, which gets into my very last point. Mamin the Eino Mamin. So wait a second. We have a guy who was a tzaddik par excellence, a tzaddik beyond any tzaddik that ever existed, who davened. He didn't even daven. He davened in a way that he knew he had to daven, but didn't ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him from his tzaras. He just knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help him. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me to get out of this tzaras, he'll get me out of this tzaras. So it's such a level of a tzaddik. So how could Rashi say in Perek Zayin Pasuk Zayin? You ready for this, Rashi? Perek Zayin Pasuk Zayin. Mipnei me'abu, af noach, miktani amuna haya. He didn't have any amuna. Mamin ve'eno mamin shiavo amabo. He believed, but didn't really believe that the mabo would come. V'nichnas l'teva shidachku amayim, and he wouldn't enter the teva until the mayim pushed him in. What in the world does that mean? How could it be that he was miktani amuna? He spoke to God. Mamin ve'eno mamin, the mabo was going to come. How could you not believe the mabo was going to come? What kind of a person is that? A little bit. I'm sorry, what? Trusted that God would change his mind. That's part of the whole pshat. I'm going to say it over. I said over a little bit of this last year, but that's the whole thing. The pshat is, Reb Levius and Reb Adichev says, a whole encompassing answer. It's an awesome answer. And it's part of what you just said. He was such an anav. Such an anav. An unbelievable anav. And such a tzaddik who was pure bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, who am I to deserve to live over the rest of my generation? Why would I live over anybody else? It can't be. It can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the world. It can't be. And that anivus, that ability to have such bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God wouldn't do such a thing, made him not daven for the generation. That's why he never davened. So was like, it can't be. It can't be. I'm going to be the one who's going to be saved. Couldn't believe it. It's so far beyond his understanding. He said to himself, it can't be. There's no way this is true. And thus he never davened, therefore he never really went up to anybody. And the whole shot behind why he wasn't able to be mochiach everyone correctly. It wasn't a chisaron in Noach. It wasn't a chisaron at all. No, it was a mile of Noach. It was a mile of his. He was such an unav. He didn't believe that he was the right person to be mochiach. So when he went up to a guy and he said, you guys should really, there's going to be a mabul soon. When they said to him, you're joking around, and they laughed at him and they did everything, he said, no, who am I? Who am I? Maybe he's right. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. That doesn't mean he can shirk his responsibilities. He's still got to make the teva. He still believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he didn't believe that he was going to be the only one that survived. He never believed that. And that was his problem the whole time. It was a mila of Noach that went there. Who was the un of Mikol Adam? Moshe Rabbeinu. So who was Noach's Gilgal into? Moshe Rabbeinu. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could be metake Noach. Because Noach was such an unav, he couldn't be mochiach anyone. So God needed such an unav to be mochiach everyone. He needed that person, otherwise nobody would be able to be metake Noach. You need the greatest unav of all time to give Musar in order for Noach to be fixed up. And without it, it doesn't happen. Without it, it doesn't happen. That's the most unbelievable word behind what Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Rabbeinu complained for 7 days straight to God, saying, I don't want to be the leader. I don't want to be the leader. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him, fine, you're out. He gave away the Kuna Gedola. He took the Kuna Gedola away from Moshe Rabbeinu and he gave it over to Aaron. Why didn't he take away the leadership? Why didn't he say to Aaron, you be the leader now? Moshe doesn't want to be the leader, you be the leader. Because he needed this leader. You needed this guy to be the Mochiach. You needed Moshe Rabbeinu to be Mochiach. You needed an Anav like that to be the Mochiach. That was the Pshat behind it. And that was the whole idea behind what Noach was supposed to do. But Noach wasn't able to do it. But my love, Noach, he wasn't able to do it. Okay, that's that. What's the first thing that Noach does when he gets off the table? Well, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. That's the wrong statement for me to make. He had korbanos. He had korbanos afterward. He gave korbanos right after the teva. That's 100% true. What did he do after the teva, though?
Planted the vineyard.
100%. It says he built a mizbeach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then all of a sudden, it's just strange. Vayochal Noach, Ishu Adama, Vayita Kerem. And he started, Noach, the man of the land, and he planted a vineyard. First of all, where did he get a grapevine? That's the machlokes about this. Some say from Gan Eden, some say from Eretz Yisrael. I believe that's a Gemara in Zvachim and Kuftai Zion. And other people say, he brought in plants with him into the table. Brought this stuff in so that he could replant the world. Imamish thought everything was by Yimachas Kol Yakum, that everything was destroyed. He thought nothing was going to be left. He didn't know Eretz Yisrael was going to survive. He didn't know Gan Eden was still going to be there. He thought everything was completely gone. So therefore he went down and he took everything out to the table so that he'd have plants to be able to plant in afterward. So here we go. Let's understand something. He planted a carrot. Number one, why does the Pasuk call him Ishu Adama, man of the land? Number two, why would he plant a carom over anything else? A vineyard? Why would that be the first thing that he plants? Obviously, grapes make wine, and wine gets you drunk. Why would you think to make such a thing? Number three, Vayesh mina yayin v'yishkor. He drank from the wine and he got drunk. A gadol like Noach got drunk? And then Vayiskal besochalo, he stood naked in his tent. He was arum? He was naked? What Talmud Chacham? Gedolim don't do this. A regular person doesn't do this. I don't care how drunk you get. You stand naked. What was the pshat behind being arum, behind being naked? And then Chacham went out and did. Chazal say, either he sodomized him and castrated him. How could Chazal say such crazy things about Chacham, who made it onto the table? L'maisa Chacham did something wrong by sleeping with his wife on the table. And he was punished with it immediately by becoming black or whatever the Chazal say about it. He got punished for it. But about Chacham. Chacham castrated his father. The fact that we give this onesh to Noach. How could he be manish a gadol like Noach without the pasuk saying it straightforward? He said that Noach was castrated? Noach was sodomized? What in the world is going on here? So what's going on? Rav Schwab says an unbelievable thing. So you should know, I was with Chavon of this, and I'm very happy about this. I said over a vort like this last year, but I did not have all the details. And this is a lot from Rav Schwab, but thank God, Baruch Hashem, this is an idea that I had last year. The idea is very simple. He thought that the whole world had just been metaken. The whole world was fixed. There was no longer a Yetzirah in this world. There was no longer hate inside this world. There was nothing left. The whole world was still the exact same type of, that was the same world, but without the chet. It was before the Eitz Hadas was eaten from. So when he got off the teva and he entered this perfect world, he sat there and he said, I'm going to fix the chet of Adam Rishon. The first thing that he made was the fruit that Adam Rishon was machate on. What was the fruit? Chazal say it was grapes. He made grapes. He planted a carrot. And he sat there and he became Arum on purpose because Adam Arishon, before the Chait, didn't have clothes. The Lo Yisposhashi, they weren't embarrassed. No, I thought there's a time without Chait. I can go there and be Arum. It wasn't Stam that he became Arum because he got drunk. He went there and added, but what he didn't realize is that the Yetzirah made it into this world. We call him Ishu Adama. He was trying to be the Ishu Adama, the man of the Adam, the guy who was taken out from the ground. He tried to be Adam Rishon. He was trying to be Adam Rishon. He was trying to be attacking the hate of Adam Rishon and to help out the Isha Adama. But there was still Ra in that world. And that was the problem, that there was still Ra around and he didn't even realize it. He didn't even realize it. That Ra was within Chacham. Because Chacham had Taiva on the Teva. And that, I know that rhymes with each other. But he had a desire on the Teva. That Taiva that he had on the Teva, being together with his wife, caused the Yetzer Hara to come into this world, that the world was not fully metukan. Had it been that everybody was separated from their wives and everybody was mistopic b'muit when they were on the table, there would have been no Yetzer Hara in this world. But Chacham messed it up. So when Chacham came along, it was Dafka Chacham that found him, because Chacham brought about Taiva inside this world. What is the ikker behind Taiva? Arias. So they say either he castrated him or they say he sodomized him. He used those terms. Chacham actually did that. Chacham was still a gadol in his own right. But the remez is there. That he was so into taivas. The taivas were there. That Noach's, what Noach did was not the right thing. Noach didn't realize it, but the time for tikkun was not there yet. And that's why everything was bad. And Shem and Ham, and he did end up getting drunk, accidentally, but he did accidentally get drunk, not thinking that he would ever get drunk from this thing, that he would ever get drunk from these grapes. And because of that, he got messed over, and that caused everything to happen. Oy, there's midrashim like crazy on that carom. Maybe next year we'll go through the whole idea behind the carom, but that ends it off. Hold on, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos.